Today, as we come to the table,
you find that as you get older, you don't care so much about being able to lift that by yourself. I look at things now and I go, I could carry that by myself, but I won't. Hey, grab that end, right? Because the older you get, things start breaking when you start carrying it by yourself. Things don't last the way they used to. And so the bottom line is, here's the principle. The reason we help each other is there may be even a burden that you can handle on your own. You're a tough guy. But you know what? Has God really called you to do that? Hey, grab the other side of this. How do you get somebody to grab the other side? Hey, man, can I talk to you? Yeah, about what? Listen, I just need some prayer. Now, let me say this. If it's a private, intimate thing, find somebody trustworthy.
There are a lot of burdens you'll face in this life that you can handle alone. You can strive and work and slowly make progress. With God's help, you can get through it by yourself. But as Pastor Mark will ask in today's message, why should you? If it's all about proving yourself, you're going to burn out and likely find yourself sliding back under the burden. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. God gave us the Holy Spirit as a comforter and helper as we face the struggles this world throws at us. And He gave us brothers and sisters in the faith. They can pray for you. They can keep you accountable and make you stronger. Don't waste that amazing gift. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians chapter 6 as he continues his message, sharing burdens and sowing seeds.
Those of you guys that have broken a leg, you've broken an arm, you've broken whatever, I don't know what that feels like, but I do know I've experienced seeing it. And I remember when Adiah, my oldest, was playing on this playset one time, and she broke her arm, and it was the worst thing. It's compound fracture, and I remember just seeing her arm dangle. I don't want to go into details. I don't like to think about it. And I paint pictures sometimes. I shouldn't paint. But either way, it's really bad. We go to the hospital, and I remember seeing her there with that broken arm, and I'm thinking, when this doctor comes in, I'm thinking, I sure hope that he just is so gentle with her. And I know she's probably thinking the same thing. Be gentle. And those of you that have a broken bone and the person comes in, you don't want the guy saying, hey, look, the real doctor's not here. It's my first day, but I'm going to do the best I can. You don't want that guy, right? You want somebody that's going to come in there and they're going to be able to, with a spirit of gentleness, reset that bone because you're already in enough pain. The last thing you need is somebody to add pain on top of the pain you're already in. Now, guys, listen, for us as believers, here's the spiritual application. When you have someone that you know and they've been taken by sin, they didn't mean to be taken captive in, and they're broken. We're saying this is something they didn't want to do, and they're truly broken. The last thing they need is you to run in there and yell at them and get in their face about how horrible they are. And see, I told you, and you never should have. You need to be gentle, and you need to be gracious. Now, here's the thing. You do have to reset the bone, don't you? So it doesn't mean you don't address the situation. For example, they come in and they're broken, and they're just wiped out. You say, look, you know why this happened, right? Yes, I know. Okay, enough said on that. Don't do that again. God has shown you, the consequence of that. But now let's get you restored. Let's pray. And you reset the spiritual bone and you pray. So you address the situation. You have to say maybe something that's a little bit painful and you can't be doing that. And you reset that bone. There's going to be some pain involved in that. But it's very gentle. It's very to the point. You don't belabor it, and you say, now let's pray. How can I help you get your walk back to where it needs to be? How can I get you back on the path? And what's interesting about that is that it may take a while. There may be something where, again, this is where we're to carry one another's burden. It may not be that that's going to heal overnight. Sometimes it's not just a prayer and a pat on the back. It's like, you know what? Here's my phone number. And if you want to call me in the middle of the night, you can call me. And maybe for the next few weeks, they really do. And you're thinking somebody's waking you up at 2 in the morning every time saying, man, I need somebody to pray with me right now because if they don't pray with me, I'm going to go right back into that sin. You need to be the one that's there saying, I'll help you carry that burden. Let's pray. Now, that's not going to last forever. But what he's saying is we need to be those that gently restore them, and we need to be those that are going to be there and say, you know what? What can I do now to make sure you get back to full recovery? It's just like you go back to the doctor and they check and make sure how the break is and they put a cast on for a while. Then they take the cast off and they go and they check you and all this stuff. What's interesting about bones too Again, I've never, as I said, ever had a broken bone, but it's my understanding that when you do have a broken bone and the area that it broke, when that compound fracture comes back together, it's stronger there than it was before it broke. Now, that's amazing to me. It doesn't mean the arm can't break again or the leg can't break again or that a person who's ever fallen can't fall again. What it means is it's going to be a lot harder to fall in that same place again if somebody sets the bone correctly. So if you have a brother or sister and they're trapped in sin and you go and you minister to them and you restore them and you reset that spiritual bone, the next time that temptation comes, they're going to be a lot more cautious about that. I can tell you the next time I went down there to that basement, I made sure that I was watching for anything that could catch my socks. Because the last thing you want to do is go flying headfirst again into the same thing you did just the day before. So there's a real principle here. Some of us learn the easy way. Some of us learn the hard way. I'm one of those that typically learns the hard way. But the bottom line is that when God resets that bone, it's stronger than it was before. And so he says, again, do this not only in a spirit of gentleness, because you want somebody dealing with you and your pain very gently and very sweetly. But notice he says in the last part of verse 1, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. As I said, this is where we have to guard ourselves, because the second reason that we're to be gracious in how we deal with people that have stumbled into sin or whatever is that we might not be tempted as well. And it literally means to be put to the test. That is, tested even as they were tested. Here's the bottom line. We are made of the same stuff they are. We're all made of the same stuff each other's made of. And if we think that we can keep from falling just because we're the ones that are walking with the Lord currently, if we don't guard ourselves and we let our guard down, we may be the one that's broken and we may need to be the one that's restored. You know, I get reminded of this on a regular basis as a pastor, because I'll see ever so often, and there was one here recently, another pastor falls, and you see these pastors that fall and you know they love God. They love God. They've loved God. They've served God for many, many years. God's used them in great ways. The fruit in their life and their ministry is tremendous. And all of a sudden, now they're gone because they fall in some sin. And you realize, you know what? I could do that too. What keeps me from falling into that? It's simply recognizing, number one, that I'm made of the same stuff they are, and then making sure that I watch my walk with God and guard myself from opening up avenues where I could be pulled into the same thing they got pulled into. You know, sin is something that happens very gradually. We don't typically wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm going to go do this sin today. Unless we're already living that way. We typically wake up and we start compromising. A little bit here, a little bit there, and next thing you know, we're pulled in, we're trapped. And so we have to guard ourselves and make sure that we're not, going to do the same thing, because it does a number of things. One is it keeps us humble to realize that we too could be pulled into this, and it helps us to deal with others that have been pulled into it very gently in dealing with them, because we recognize that we have the same weaknesses. You know, it's interesting. I'm not proud of my past, and I'm not going to go into it, but my past is not really pretty, and some of us have different pasts. I wish I had one of those testimonies where I always knew the Lord. I grew up, and I gave my life to the Lord when I was like, a month old, and I followed him ever since then, or whatever. I wish that was my testimony. That's not my testimony. My testimony is a lifetime of horrible darkness and sin up until I was 25, and then repentance and brokenness, and God restored me. That's my testimony. And although I wish I had that kind of testimony, I don't have that kind of testimony. But the bottom line is that now, because of that, there is one benefit. There's no benefit to it otherwise. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's beneficial to live a life of sin. It only brings destruction. But one way God has used it is that now I understand those that are deeply in dark sin. And when people come up to me and they say, Pastor Mark, I've got to share something, and I'm afraid you're going to think I'm horrible, I'm like, you have no idea. I doubt there's anything you could say that would be any worse than anything I've ever done, and I'm not going to compare sins. My point is, let's just pray together. Let me help you with that burden. Let's take it to the Lord. I understand sin. I've been right in the middle of it more than I'd like to admit. Let's pray together. And that's where we carry one another's burdens. We link arms and we say, you know what? Let's go to the throne. Let's let God cleanse us. Let's God forgive us. And let's move on. So you restore with a spirit of gentleness, and you consider yourself lest you be tempted as well. Notice he goes on in verse 2. He says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I love this. He speaks of a law connected to Christ, when the whole point of the book of Galatians is to get away from the law. And we'll explain that in just a moment. But notice right after talking about restoring those overtaken in sin, he makes reference to bearing one another's burdens. Why so? Because when we reach out to help a brother or a sister to be free from sin, as I said, they often need some degree of help beyond that. And this is where sometimes it can be a burden, whether it's answering that phone in the middle of the night or maybe meeting them for a few weeks at Starbucks for a cup of coffee and to talk about the situation, to pray them through it, to encourage them through it, to share scripture. You know, being there to carry that burden. Again, this isn't something that goes on forever, but we need to be there to help them through the midst of it. We've got to be there to strengthen them while they're struggling through the midst of this burden that they're carrying. Again, which may seem slightly burdensome to us for a while, but by reaching out and helping them carry the burden, we're lightening their load. It makes it easier. It's a lot easier to carry with two guys than it is one. When I was younger, you know, I don't know what it is about guys. Maybe it's just, you know, macho thing or something. We want to, you know, it's like there'll be something there that really is heavier than we should carry, but we can carry it. So we don't ask for any help. Put that car over there. There you go. There's your car. Enjoy your car, whatever. There's something about it, especially when you're younger. You find that as you get older, you don't care so much about being able to lift that by yourself. I look at things now and I go, I could carry that by myself, but I won't. Hey, grab that end, right? Because the older you get, things start breaking when you start carrying it by yourself. You don't, things don't last the way they used to. And so the bottom line is, here's the principle. The reason we help each other is there may be even a burden that you can handle on your own. You're a tough guy. But you know what? Has God really called you to do that? Hey, grab the other side of this. How do you get somebody to grab the other side? Hey, man, can I talk to you? Yeah, about what? Listen, I just need some prayer. Now, let me say this. If it's a private, intimate thing, find somebody trustworthy. Find somebody faithful. Find somebody that's not going to run to the next guy and say, well, you ought to hear what Mark's going through. He's got his struggles. I've got mine. Mine's gossip. Now, here's his. His struggle is, you know, you're like, why'd you tell everybody that? So don't go to somebody that you know is going to just go to everybody, all right? The bottom line is find somebody faithful you can trust and say, you know what, that may not be private, so you can let everybody put it on the prayer chain if it's not private. But if it's private, find someone that you trust and say, you know what, pray with me on this. You know, I'm struggling in that area. I need help right here. And then be open to their counsel, be open to them ministering, be open, receive that prayer, work together. Because even if you could, with God's help, get through it by yourself, it's a lot easier. And I'll tell you, I think there's a lot more wisdom. You know, one thing about getting older is that you see wisdom in helping other people carry things. I used to be interesting watching these guys that get old in basketball. And, of course, they're not really that old in relation to age. But in basketball, I remember seeing Shaq, you know, when I'm getting around 30 years old or whatever. And this guy weighs like a gazillion pounds and he's gigantic, right? And you see him, and used to when he was younger, I'd watch him and he was always just slamming everything and the whole building shakes and whatever. He got older. I watched him. The last couple of years he played, he was just as effective, but he played smart. He let all the young guys carry the heavy burdens. He just stood there, they get in the ball, and he went, boom, and put it in. He let them run around like crazy, right? The older we get in the Lord, we realize, you know what? Let God do the work. Let God do the work. We don't have to do it all. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer, and let's get other people praying with us. We need help. And it's beautiful because there's humility in that. Recognizing that we do need help, and we're giving each other help and carrying that burden, but two people carrying a burden makes something way more bearable than one person carrying it, and so we need to use wisdom and do that. And the word burden here means, again, not just something that's slightly heavy. This means very, very heavy, very weighty, very hard, overwhelming. And some of you have that. Listen, again, because I know how God works in the Word, some of you are carrying something that you feel is overwhelming. Listen, you need to find somebody you can trust and pray with them. If it's a pastor, it's an elder, do it. If it's a friend, do it. If it's something that's light and you say, well, I can take this to the Lord, whatever. But don't just carry that by yourself. God hasn't called us to do that. The Lord is the one that's strong. We don't have to be. He'll give us his strength, and that's what we depend on. And so notice Paul said, when we do that, when we help each other carry that weight, they can't carry it on their own. We pray with them. We encourage them. Maybe it's beyond that, as we said, financial. Maybe it's meeting. Maybe it's giving the phone number out, whatever the case might be. Then here's what happens. It fulfills the law of Christ. I love that. And again, why so? Because note this, it goes back to what we noted at the very beginning of what we looked at this morning, and that is the Lord said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That is, helping each other carry burdens and lightening the load makes their burden light and easy just like the Lord does. So when you help a brother or sister carry that burden, you're doing the same thing Jesus did when he said, all you that are heavy and weary laden, or weary and heavy laden rather, come to me and I'll give you rest. Because my yoke is easy and my burden's light. So what we're doing is we're saying, I'm going to help you pick this up right now. And we're going to pick it up together and we're going to give it to the Lord together. And God to help you in that. It's beautiful. Notice he says here, for if someone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Now this is kind of an interesting verse. And in one way it could kind of seem out of place. But you have to remember what Paul was dealing with. You had all the Judaizers, the legal people, the legalizers, if you will, that were trying to get him under the law. They're in Galatia. Which is why Paul wrote this letter to say, don't live under the law. And he just talked about the law of Christ, but there's an understanding that comes with that. It's a freedom in Christ, but by his power fulfilling that law of love and carrying the burden. But now he addresses, I believe, these guys in Galatia that were bringing in the law and thinking they were about something. They were the ones that were the authorities. They had the biblical authority. Forget Paul. Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm the one that has the biblical authority. So listen to me and do what I say. And Paul says, these guys don't even know what they're talking about. They're self-deceived. They're acting like they're the teacher. They're not the teacher. They themselves need to be taught because they're prideful. They can't see where they're walking because they've allowed pride to blind them, and they need to have their eyes open in humility. And he says, the bottom line is they're terribly deceived. And whenever we walk in pride and we think we have all the answers and we're the one that's this and whatever this might be, and we're not walking humbly with the Lord, then it really becomes our personal opinions rather than the Word of God. Whereas when we're walking in the Spirit and we're seeking God in prayer and the Word, we say, here's what the Bible says. It's not about my opinion. You know, whenever you share the Lord with people, they oftentimes want to say what? That's your opinion. That's one of the big arguments against Christianity. That's your opinion. What you need to let them know is my opinion doesn't matter. My opinion is zero. It means nothing. Nobody cares about my opinion. It's the Lord's opinion. And what does the Bible say? Here's what the Word says. And then you give the Word of God. That's where the power comes from. And so I believe Paul was basically saying, look, these guys think they're about something. They think they're walking, you know, in this wisdom or whatever. They know nothing. They're self-deceived because they're following the law rather than the Word of God and living by the Spirit. He says, verse 4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, again, notice Paul says, rather than these legalists evaluating everyone else's work in the Lord, they should be first evaluating their own work in the Lord. That is, as Jesus said, we're to look at the plank in our own eye before we help the brother with the speck in his eye. Remember the word plank there? It means log. Literally what he's saying, when Jesus said that, he said, hey, you have this giant log in your eye. Get it out before you can help someone else with the speck. And that's the word he uses for the person you're trying to help. There's a whole picture there of this, you know, reverse humility. You think you're the one leading the way. First of all, make sure that you're humble and that you're walking in the Spirit. Then go in that spirit of gentleness and try to help them remove that speck from their eye. And I find it interesting. We talked about the tenderness of a broken bone. You talk about an example to use when it comes to a speck in an eye. That's one of the most tender parts of the body. Somebody messes with your eye, that freaks you out, right? You don't like people around your eyes. And so he's saying, this is how you need to deal with people. Make sure that you have dealt with yourself first. Don't lay a burden on them that you yourself can't carry by giving them the law. And notice, he says, if you'll deal with your own issues. And if you deal with your own issues, notice he says, then you can rejoice. Why? You rejoice because you're walking with the Lord. And so now you can rejoice the fact that you're right with the Lord, which incidentally makes you available now to minister to other people in the Lord as well. Once you have your act together, you can now minister to them so that they have their act together. And so we can deal with them in a proper way. And he says, notice this, for each one shall bear his own load. You know, it's interesting, at the women's tea, I got so ministered to. I can't tell you. God just really spoke to me in some huge ways, some neat ways. And one of the craziest things, and one of the neatest things, I guess, was, you know, God used my daughter in a big way to speak to me. And she brought up this point. I've been playing with that in my mind every day, since all day yesterday. It's kind of running around in my brain. I'm kind of, God's ministering to me through that. But she brought up a great point, and that is, it's interesting. You know, in the temple, when you had the temple, you had the priests in the temple, and they had the wicks for the oil lamps. They had these oil lamps. You'd pour the olive oil in the lamp, and you put the wick in there. It was made of linen, and then the high priest would light that, and the high priest's job was to keep it filled and to keep it lit. And they would, and here's the really cool part about this. It was the same material the priests would wear. The priests wore linen as well. And so you have this whole picture here of the high priest and the priest there making sure that the lamps are lit, and the high priest being the one mainly responsible that the lamps were lit. But I love the point she brought up, and that was, it's not up to us to put oil on ourselves, and it's not up to us to light ourselves. That's the high priest's job. He fills us with oil. He lights the wick, and then we burn brightly for the Lord. So if you've been straining and trying to be filled with the Spirit and all these things, you just need to let go of it and say, God, you're the one. Look, if I'm going to be filled here, you're going to have to do this, and then you're going to have to light me so that I shine and can shine brightly for others. I have no control over this. This is in your hands. It is a great prayer to pray, and very freeing, might I add. But what's cool about this is I begin to mull this whole thing over, really kind of develop it. You know, really, when you look at the temple, the high priest carried the greatest burden. He was the one that had the breastplate on. And he wore the linen and the breastplate and a turban, but he carried more of a burden. The priest, which, by the way, the Bible says we're all kings and priests to the Lord. So in the kingdom, you're a priest, okay? The priest wore just the linen garment. As a matter of fact, which was very light and lacked a burden, but as a matter of fact, they wore no shoes. And so they wouldn't wear shoes around there, again, so their feet wouldn't be burdened. What a beautiful picture that is of in walking in the Lord. Here's my point. God doesn't want us to be burdened down in our life or our service unto the Lord. And that is anything that would burden down your walk in Jesus. Take it off. Take the shoes off. Be barefoot. Be free in that. Anything that would, again, another thing about linen that I love is that you wouldn't sweat in it. Now, it's very hot in the Middle East at certain times of the year. So God had him wear something very light that would breathe very well. And his whole picture was is not to carry a burden, not have anything that encumbered your walk, and not doing things that would make you sweat all the time. I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and whatever. And I know we all have burdens we have to carry, whether it be individual life or something for the Lord, maybe in serving. But the point is, we live in the household of God. He's our Father. And the Bible says Jesus is the high priest, and the high priest is the one that carries the burden. It's almost like this whole picture, we're just a bunch of little kids running around the house barefoot without any real burden. You know when you were little, how light life was? Remember what it was like? It's like you're a kid. You don't realize how great it is when you're a kid until you get older. And you look back, you say, man, I just kind of ran around barefoot and played and got, you know, and times of Christmas or whatever. And the mom and dad carried the burden. You didn't even know what the burdens were. But note this. Fellow believer, we're now in the household of God. We are his children. And here's what the Lord is saying to you that are carrying heavy burdens this morning. He's saying this, look, just be my kids and relax. Run around the house barefooted. Don't wear heavy garments. Don't sweat it. Just love me and relax. And you know what? I think about the fact, too, they were wearing this wick. You know, for me, I think of that, well, I'm wicked, so that's appropriate. But even though we're wicked, even though we have a sinful nature, we have on this like almost body-sized wick that we say, Lord, here I am, your kid. I don't want to carry the burdens. You're the high priest. You carry them. Dad carries the burdens. I don't have to. I'm just your kid in your household. So I want you to carry it. And I want you to clothe me now in that wick, if you will, that you might pour that oil on it. Let me be saturated and just light me to shine for you. And all you see is just kids running around as little lights in the temple of God, shining for the Lord. You know, it's beautiful when you read Revelation, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth. When the new heaven comes down, it says that we will shine like the stars of heaven. And it says that the new heaven is clear. Everything's clear. It's got all these jewels that are going to be in the walls of it. But they're see-through. They're clear. And when you think about us shining brightly, okay, again, it would appear that the new heaven and the new earth, this is at the end of the thousand-year reign, a whole prophetic study, but just trust me on this. Go read Revelation, get your commentaries, whatever. But it would appear that when he creates the new heaven and the new earth, we'll be going back and forth from what here on the earth up to where heaven, to where this kingdom is. There'll be a kingdom there that's going to be the kingdom of God as well as everything else because he'll own everything. But we'll be traveling around, still serving the Lord, doing whatever God has us doing. But we're going to shine like the stars of heaven. And I picture in my brain us going up there to that and seeing all these lights going in and the lights going through all those clear stones and the beauty of the lights. As you guys go in and I'm watching you, yep, look, there goes Tracy, there goes Leo. Look, there I go. And I watch you guys go in and you're shining bright and all the colors coming through the kingdom. You're shining for the Lord. And it's just like, you know, it's like God's kids just running around his house shining his glory. Some of you, again, you're weighted down today. God wants you to lay the burden down. Don't keep it tied to your arms. Let it go. Lay the burden down. And some of you are going to need help to do that. Now, that might, as I said, mean going to a friend to pray. It might mean getting prayer from somewhere else. But I believe because of where God has us and because typically where we are is where we are, some of you right now are going, this is me. You're talking about me today. I'm weighted down. I want to give you an opportunity to walk out of here barefoot and in a linen cloth just shining for the Lord.
The book of Galatians is a good reminder of what really matters. It's a book about being freed from your sinful lifestyle, and that freedom will open up the world to you so you can walk in God's will for your life unhindered. Now, that doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want, because we all know that will take you to a place away from God. But the closer you get to Jesus, you'll notice your thinking and desires will change for the better. If you're truly seeking Him in all things and walking in a way that pleases Him, you end up being freed up from what's holding you back. As Pastor Mark reminds us, knowing and following Jesus is life-changing. Some people think that they have to give up everything they really enjoy if they commit to Christ, but that's exactly the opposite. Whatever God asks you to lay down is because it's harmful or hurtful. He always replaces it with something better. All you need to do is surrender to Jesus and trust that He'll take care of the rest. We realize it might not seem that easy in your head or heart, so please reach out to us if you have questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section, or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. We hope you'll take that leap of faith into a more fulfilling life, and we hope you'll join us for more expository truths for the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.